Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dear Future Hubby podcast. That is me pretending like I'm the audience because right now I don't have my bells and whistles. However, normally what I do is read a poem from my book of poetry entitled A Strong Will Mind, Healing Scars Over Time Through My Poetry. But I will not be reading from my book of poetry on today. This is more or less like a public service announcement. I do apologize that I have not been on here lately. However, there's a lot that has been transpiring in my world. I recently came back from Atlanta, Georgia after attending the I Am Woman conference hosted by Pastor Kelly Agweze. And the visitors were Dr. Cindy Trim and Real Talk Kim, as well as Miss Rachel. They all did a phenomenal job, so shout out to them. But also, if you have been listening to any of my episodes, my daughter was on here, my youngest daughter, and she had expressed how she has experienced bullying at her high school, and also how she has been begging me to relocate so that that way she could go to a different school and hopefully not have to deal with the same type of torment or torture. If you have listened to that episode, I also expressed to her that everything takes time, takes time as well as it costs money. But glory be to God, we have been able to locate an apartment thanks to my sweetheart. So now what we're doing, we're in the process of actually doing just that. So it's going to take a moment. It's going to take some time. I want to thank you for your continued support, but at the same time, I also wanted you to be aware that this is not intentional that I am not on here. It's just that if you know anything about moving, it takes a whole lot of patience and a whole lot of energy, especially when you have a full-time job that is also taking a whole lot of patience and a whole lot of energy. I don't think I announced that to y'all, but as of March 4th, I received a promotion. And so I am also trying to get acclimated in that new role. So there's just a lot that has been transpiring. And when I tell you that my energy levels have been low, I feel like that is an understatement. But with everything that has been taking place over the past few weeks, I just haven't found the time or the energy to contribute to these episodes. So my sincerest apologies. However, before I actually conclude this episode, what I wanted to do, I wanted to give a shout out. They probably have been listening, waiting for that shout out, but I had actually met one of the cutest couples when I was in transition of coming back from Atlanta, Georgia to Austin, Texas. When I tell y'all, they were so friendly. Like I gravitated toward them, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit because we didn't know each other from anybody. But I asked her husband if I could sit next to them in a restaurant. Come to find out, if I was not dining in, I needed to be standing outside of the restaurant waiting for my order. Nevertheless, they welcomed me with open arms, let me sit next to them, even when the waitress came by and was like, are you sitting with them or are you gonna, you know, what are you doing pretty much? I said, yeah, right now I need to sit, so I'm gonna sit with them. So I was glad that we had already had that dialogue. However, when I decided to go ahead and just be obedient and stand and wait for my order, because my order was to go, I still engaged in conversation with them. And when I tell y'all, they blessed my soul. A lot of y'all know that this is called the Dear Future Hubby podcast because one of my, it's not even a hidden secret. One of my desires is that one day I will marry my true husband. And so in this journey that I have allowed people to be a part of, I talk about relationships. I talk about my failed relationships. I talk about my desire to have a healthy relationship. I talk about being single. And I also talk about marriage, the art of marriage, from what I read in the Bible. And I also talk about those marriages that may not be the best marriages, but we could glean from the wisdom of that and learn not to do those very things. And so in the course of my just waiting for my food, I met this couple And they were called, well, their names are Mr. and Mrs. Scott. They are from Corona, California. A lovely, lovely African-American couple. And one of the questions that I asked him after we pretty much just hit it right off, I asked his wife and I asked him, what are three things? Because they have been married, I believe. Please forgive me, Mr. and Mrs. Scott, if I get it wrong. But I believe that they said 43 years. And so listening to them, this is what Mr. Scott said. He said, there's three things that have kept their relationship strong. One of them being friendship. He's like, you got to be friends first. And then he said, instead of three, y'all, he gave me four. So friendship being the top thing. Then he said, affection, fondness. You have to be affectionate towards your significant other, your purpose partner. You have to be fond of them and you have to be attracted to them. And he said, to this day, he's still attracted to his wife. And she was like, to this day, she's still attracted to her husband. And that makes a world of difference. And so what she also told me to listen to. So I'm gonna share everything that she shared with me. Okay. She was like the mother that I never had. I just gravitated toward her. If I ever see, because I didn't get a chance to hug her while I was at the airport. But if our paths ever cross again, I'm getting my hug. So this right here, it said, she said, she wanted me to listen to, it's a song by the Mississippi Mass Choir, because I expressed to them that I'm a two-time brain surgery survivor and that I currently have a tumor in my brain. And so she was telling me how I am a walking miracle. To God be all the glory. I give him all the glory for that, because I know had it not been for him, I wouldn't even have breath in my body right now. Okay. However, she said for me, she encouraged me to listen to the song called Your Grace and Mercy. And she told me specifically to listen to the words that are being sung. So I am passing that on to you all. If you need encouragement, if you're going through a storm, if you're going through a bad situation and you don't know how in the world you're going to see your way through that, listen to the Mississippi Mass Choir, and the song being Grace, Your Grace and Mercy. Okay, that was Mrs. Scott's recommendation. And then she said there's a book called Sermon on the Mount, and the author's name is Emmett, E-M-M-I-T-T Fox, F-O-X. She told me to look that book up. It's a really quick read. Her husband also backed her up with that and said, yes, get that book. There was another one that said Around the Year with Emmett Fox. So they both suggested that I invest in those two books. Now, I did find an audiobook by Mr. Emmett Fox. And hold on, let me see real quick. I'll let y'all know what the name of that is. So that was the one that I was able to find. And it was called The Mental Equivalent. And it literally is, it's not long at all, y'all. It's like maybe 48 minutes. So it's an easy read or easy listen. And so that one I've listened to twice already. I'm probably going to listen to a third time. Because for me, I can't speak for everybody else. In order for it to stick and stay for me, repetition is my teacher. So I have to hear certain things over and over again, or see certain things over and over again, or do certain things over and over again before they stick and they stay. So the message that I heard from him was so impactful. And it's called The Mental Equivalent, that I have already heard it twice and I'm planning on hearing it a third time. Now, the first two times that I heard it, I just listened to it all the way through. This third time, I'm most likely going to take notes so that it really will stick and stay. But he had some really good insight and some really good words of wisdom to take with you. Okay, so the next thing that was expressed to me by the Scotts was, excuse me, visualize what you want. Now, I know a lot of times we hear this, you know, if you've heard anybody talk about manifestation, I think I even have a few episodes on manifestation. But if you've heard anyone talk about manifestation, that is one of the things that is like a partner with manifesting anything in your life. And that is to visualize what you want. And so after you visualize it, Mr. Scott said, you got to claim it.
and it will come alive. Actually, I believe Mrs. Scott said that. And he was literally her cheerleader. If y'all could have been there, it was the most adorable thing to see. The way that they cheerleaded each other, the way that they supported each other in each other's statements, the way that they edified each other. Like, that's something that I have been talking to God about, praying to God about, trying not to get emotional because God knows that that is near and dear to my heart. But to be able to see it in live, living color, in real time was one of the most beautiful things. And it let me know. And a lot of times I believe that's why, I mean, God's reasoning may be different because remember, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. But in my mind, what I have a tendency to believe is that because he knows that that's a desire of my heart, he lays it before me so that I can see that I'm not living in a fantasy world, that it is something that is attainable and it can and will manifest because I believe it to be true. So whenever I'm seeing examples displayed in front of me where I'm able to see, wait a minute, okay, the way this man loves this woman, the way this woman loves this man, this is something that's realistic. And then to be able to see it in real time and then to hear them say they've been married for 43 years, in this day and age, that's a miracle in and of itself because there's so much temptation out there. When I'm seeing someone that's dedicated and committed and loyal to their spouse, vice versa, men or women, and seeing how they minister to each other, like even just the way that they, how they ordered their food, the way that they had conversation with me, it really, really blessed my soul. And they're too young to be grandparents, but they would be, you know, perfect adoptive parents. That's just how much I gravitated to them. And it was so amazing because we talked for a little bit of time, but it felt like if I had not been in the atmosphere of an airport and if we would have just been, let's say, a restaurant, I could have, and I'm talking about a real restaurant, not an airport restaurant, I could have sat there and gleaned from their wisdom for hours. That's how much I gravitated to this couple. And she was telling me how a lot of what they were sharing with me, they have implemented in their own lives. And so this was why they were able to attest to these things, is because they had been tried, tested, and proven. And for them to have a record of being married for 43 years, I mean, that's evident in and of itself. And so, and they looked like they really do like each other. They looked like they really had a genuine love for one another and a genuine respect for one another. The way he looked at her when she spoke, the way she looked at him when he spoke, it was like fresh gingerbread coming out the oven. Like, it was just so warming to watch. It was so warming to see. It was just beautiful. Oh, speaking of beautiful relationships, real talk, Kim, I got an opportunity to meet her fiance, Mr. Lowe, or Brother Lowe, which, you know, his real name is Angelo, but she calls him Lowe, in love, out of love. And which is, I just caught this, love, L-O-V-E, Lowe, you know, anyway, first two letters of love. Okay, so to watch how they minister to each other, that was also inspirational. So if you are someone, you could try this or you could debunk it. It's really up to you. But for me, I have to be able to see love in real time. Like, I have to be able to see that. That is something, and I don't know if it's because of how I was raised. I don't know if it's because of the bad relationships I've experienced, but I have to be able to see it for myself to know that it's not just in my head. So when I'm seeing certain things play out in front of me, it makes me know that I'm not praying for the impossible. But one of the revelations that I got is that nothing is impossible for God. So even if it seems that it's impossible to man, because I'm giving my prayer life to God and I'm surrendering what I desire to God, he will even make the impossible possible. And so as I watched how they ministered to each other and how he supported Real Talk Kim as she was walking up stage, how they just look so gracious, y'all. It was a beautiful thing to watch. How he would just guide her up the steps as she was going, how he sat there and he was engulfed in the way that she was preaching. Yes, y'all. I guess deep down inside, I'm a people watcher. I try not to claim that, but I think that's just who I am. And it's a subtle people watch because I'm watching for different reasons. I don't watch people for other ways that people watch people. I literally watch from a spiritual perspective. And so I'm always looking for God in people. And I never realized that that's really what I'm doing. I'm always looking for his presence in people. So it's like a spiritual aspect of people watching. And I recognize the enemy in people too. So this has kind of transpired over the years. I don't believe that when I first started people watching that that was the intent. But over the years, it's kind of like transformed into this. You're not looking at people for the outward appearance. You're really trying to see if you see God in them. And that's what I end up gravitating to, is the people where I see God in them. We hear kindred spirits. I really believe that that's where that comes from when it comes to me. I can't speak for anybody else but self. But that's one of the things that as I've gotten older that I recognize. And I've also noticed that whenever there is someone that may have the enemy in them or they're being operated by the enemy, I notice how it'll vex my spirit. And I really don't want to be around them too long because I don't want that rubbing off on me. And so those are things that I've just become more mindful of over time. Whew. Yeah, it's been a journey. It's been a journey we call life. But so what the Scotts were telling me was to claim it. And then they stated it will come to pass. And I believe that that's in alignment with faith. So for those of you who don't know, maybe you've never heard my episodes, or maybe this is the first time ever hearing my episodes. My book of poetry is entitled A Strong Will Mind, Healing Scars Over Time Through My Poetry. It's based off of faith. It was my blueprint to my children in case of my demise after I heard about the tumor being in my brain. And then God used what I'd gone through surviving two brain surgeries as a way to catapult me into prophesying over myself. And at the time, I didn't even know that I was prophesying over myself. That's just how amazing he is. Because all I said to the congregation who had interceded for me when it came to me telling them about how I had overcome this trial, mind you, we didn't know the tumor was going to grow back. But anywho, so I'm standing behind the pulpit and I'm testifying of how God's angels were encamped around me during the process of the surgery, post-surgery, and the like. And then I utter the words, a book is going to be birthed out of this experience. That happened 3 years prior to my book of poetry actually being published. Little did I know, I was speaking prophetically. It has come to pass. I also recall God telling me, I am preparing your audience for you. I'm thinking my audience is my children. I did not know that God had a literal podcast that he was going to birth through me, and that my book would be a part of that podcast, and that this podcast will be an international podcast. I never saw that. That is something that he poured into me. That's a vision that he saw for me. And all I did was obey. The Bible says obedience is greater than sacrifice. I obeyed his voice. I followed his instructions. I incorporated him in my decision-making process. And as a result, this podcast is now an international podcast. I give God all the glory for that, because that's a vision that the only vision that I ever had was being a published author with visions. Let me make that plural. The only visions that I ever had was becoming a public author once. God has made that happen twice. I have two books. The other book is called Perfect Illusions of Love, a novel. Teresa Reese. If you don't know, T-E-R-E-S-A-R-E-E-S-E, that's how you spell my name. However, those two books, I only saw and hoped for since I was 10 years old
I only hope for one, and God did double. He gave me double for the trouble, because, honey, your girl's been through a lot of trouble. So, went through that, but I never knew or never really saw God doing what God has done, and he's not done yet. And then for him to tell me that I'm preparing an audience for you, the reason for me writing my first book was literally as a blueprint to encourage my children if they were to face adversity. So he did all of the, he really will make plenty out of little, because all I did was have this little vision of being a published author. God did exceeding abundantly above all I could ask, think, or even imagine concerning just becoming a published author. And then I had this little bitty thought one day about being a podcaster. I even tried it. I even shared one of my episodes. And my daughter's uncle sent me a microphone and said, don't stop. But because her response, my oldest child, because her response was one that I wasn't prepared for, it crushed my spirit temporarily. And I did not continue podcasting after that one statement for a few years. Fast forward, God told me it was time for me to stop making excuses and to just jump. And now, 3 years later, we have, well, actually, excuse me, the podcast has been existent for a little bit over 3 years, or I think it's coming up 3 years. I think it's coming up. Y'all, charge it to my head, not my heart. So I believe that it's 3 years old now, but it could be coming up on 3 years. Nevertheless, I didn't think this up. Now, I had desired it, but I didn't think it up. I was happy just to get, this is what happens when you realize that sometimes we just really be thick and small. I was happy to see 100 people listen to my episode. And you got to be careful, y'all, with people, because even when you're sharing your dreams, if you are not careful, you will let people snipe out and steal what it is that you hold so near and dear to your heart. So you really got to be careful when it comes to sharing your, I didn't get this from the Scots. I learned this from trial and error. You got to be careful with sharing your dreams with people, because it's a lot of people, whether they do it intentionally or unintentionally, they may think that they mean you well, but their words contradict what they're saying. So they may feel like, oh, I just only want the best for you. But if you really pay attention to the words that are coming out of their mouth, they're speaking small curses over you. And if you're not careful, you will come into agreement with those curses. And next thing you know, the very thing that you were dreaming, it'll be at a halt. So you have to be careful who you share your dreams with, because sometimes people can only see you as far as their minds can go. A lot of people are not equipped to handle the call on your life, the anointing on your life, the purpose in your life. There are a lot of people that just literally cannot handle that. And instead of them telling you that I've never been in someone of this caliber before, I don't know how to process how it is that you operate because I've never dealt with this, what they'll do, if you're not careful, pay close attention, they will start to knock you down to fit their mold of what they believe you should be doing and who you should be in order for them to feel most comfortable. And so, in order for me to proceed, I had to compartmentalize what the naysayers were saying. And I had to go forth, even if it was just me and God. And I have come to learn that in all actuality, if God be for me, it is more than the whole world against me, because he's helping me to weather storms that otherwise I would not be able to weather alone. That's my personal opinion. If you don't agree, that's your business. However, for me, I have learned it is better for him to be on my side than not. So one of the things that they have stated was that claim it and it will come alive. And then what I loved about what Miss Scott said next, she said, a lot of times people feel stuck. They feel stuck in their current situation and they don't know why.
She said, but nobody thinks that maybe I forgot to thank God for where he's brought me thus far. Because she said, a lot of times we will have these requests that we put out into the atmosphere. God answers those requests, and then we just carry on as if we did it. No, we got to take time to thank God. I said something to a dear, dear friend of mine yesterday. Didn't realize that it was going to drop in my spirit the way it did. But now that I'm reading what Miss Scott said, see, God is an awesome God. Because Miss Scott said this a few weeks ago or a few days ago, and I literally had this dropped in my spirit yesterday. And I'm going to share it with you. I told my friend, the same way that we want to know that God loves us is the same way that God wants to know that we love him. And a lot of times what we do, we are okay with asking him for things, but then we don't take time out to celebrate him for giving us those things. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves in a situation where we're complaining about the very thing that we ask God for. We can find all the stuff that's wrong with what it is that we asked him for instead of finding the right in the very thing that we asked him for. And so we have to. It's like reciprocation. It is reciprocation. I don't know about you, but I don't really like when someone is constantly begging me for stuff. But then the minute I ask them, can they do one thing for me? They get an attitude. Do you know that we're like that with God a lot? He tells us to fast for a day and I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I can't just go 24 hours without eating, Lord. What? We start complaining and he's trying to get us to our breakthrough. That's all he's trying to do. He's like, I know what you prayed for, but there's some things that are required on your part for them to manifest, for them to come to pass. And then we throw a temper tantrum because it's not we want the reward, but we don't want to have to work or fight for it. And we do this in relationships too. We want all of the bells and whistles. We want all the good stuff. But when the bad stuff manifests, we're like, okay, I'm out. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm one of those fight or flight type people because of all the hell I've been through. But I had to realize it's the same with God. As long as he's blessing us, I think that's the reason why I love the book of Job so much, is because Job was so transparent in the fact, when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He was like, what? Foolery you're talking of. I'm paraphrasing, y'all. Why is it okay for me to rejoice and praise God when he's doing everything that I desire and even more, but then have an attitude with God and want to forsake him and curse him when he's not giving me what I asked for, when I'm going through a trial and a tribulation? Why is that okay? I will not do that to my friend. I'm going to rejoice and thank him for being the great I am, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent, because it doesn't change who he is in my life. God is not a puppet that I can dictate to him how my life should be ran and he just do what I say. No, he's the great I am. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Whatever he wills in my life is right and good because he's the one that willed it. Whatever he allows in my life is right and good because he's the one that allowed it. So I reverence him for being who he is in my life. The head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. I'm not just going to rejoice when things are looking good in my life. I got to thank him even when they're looking bad, because guess what that tells me? Even if it's looking bad, I'm still here to be able to feel it and see it. And it's a whole lot of people that would love to trade places with me that are 6 feet under. So let me rejoice and praise him even in the bad times. Let me find a reason. Even if it's recalling all the other things he's brought me through to date, that's still enough reason to give him glory. So after my friend and I had this conversation, I started to realize I'm guilty of that too. And I had to repent. Lord, I do that too. As long as it's good, I'm, oh, hallelujah, praise you. I thank you though that I have now a different attitude. And so I'm learning that even in the bad times, I'm still gonna praise and worship you. But I can attest to the fact that I've been that person. Forgive me, because I don't want to be that person that's selfish and self-centered, and the only time that I give you glory is when it all looks great. That's not right. That's not even a true friendship. That means I'm using you for what you could do for me, not wanting to do anything for you in return. That's not even a friendship. That's a frenemy. I'm not trying to be your frenemy, God. I'm trying to be your friend. So sometimes we just have to have those moments where we literally confess those sins to him, the things that we're not even aware that we're doing. Sometimes those conversations take place not for us to point the finger and blame somebody else, but for us to point those other three fingers back at us and be like, how does this apply to me? Oh, okay, I see myself now. Let me work on that. So, friendly reminder, if you feel stagnant, if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're not propelling forward, remember to thank God for where you're already at, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, because at least you can feel it, baby. At least you can feel it. And the next thing she said do was put your dream on three different sections. Put one of your other dreams, and then the dream that you truly, 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 beyond a shadow of a doubt, want to come true, put that in the middle. And she says she did that for her husband, all the way to the point that the title of the hospital that he would work at, and the title, she put that on a vision board for him. And he's walking in that vision right now. She said, be specific. Stop putting off creating your vision board. And she said, they have green boards on Amazon. Now, Amazon is not paying me to advertise this, but honey, I use Amazon like a religion. You may or may not like that, but that's my truth. So those were the tad bits, the bits of wisdom that were given to me and handed to me by Mr. and Mrs. Scott out of Corona, California. And I am taking a moment to share them with you. I hope they bless your whole soul. This is going to conclude my episode on today, but please, please, please do me a huge favor and take care of yourself, because there is only one you. Signing out, your girl, Teresa. Y'all have a blessed one. Bye. Thank you for your grace. Have a blessed one. Bye. And thank you so much for listening.